Hey friends, here we are on A Heart Refined. Speaking of James for you, this is episode 19 today. This has been a super exciting week for me because I love this conversation where we're actually understanding on a deeper level what James is talking about. We were speaking about yesterday how Paul in Romans and James here in the book of James complement one another because they're speaking to a group of people who had become dull in their faith, where they were just saying, okay, faith alone saves me so I can more or less do whatever I want. I don't necessarily have to obey God. I'm free from the Mosaic law, so that means that I can just live it up. Well, we know that Jesus came to fulfill the law, and so we're still obligated to obey him, and walking in the Spirit shows us exactly what it is that we're supposed to do. Yesterday, we started to sort of baseline define what real faith looks like. We were differentiating between true faith and either sentimental faith or creedal faith. Now, sentimental faith is just wishing someone well while doing nothing to help them. That's easy to do, patting somebody on the head. I feel sorry for you that you're in this place in life, but I'm gonna go on and do my thing because I'm a little bit busy. And then there's creedal faith, where we're affirming something to be true, but it makes no difference to the way we live. So more or less patting our pastor on the head or those who are mentoring or trying to disciple us and draw us up out of our earthly ways and into a stronger life with Christ. We sort of pat those people on the head and say, thanks, I appreciate, or we kind of pat God on the head, I think. And say, thanks for the good advice. I appreciate you. I believe in you. But again, I'm a little bit busy doing my own thing. Thanks for heaven, but I've got the earth. Have you ever felt yourself doing that as you feel the Lord asking you to obey him? And you say, you know what? No, that won't work for me. So I'm going to do this end of it, and we'll talk about that when I get to heaven. I think you want to make sure and go ahead and work out those sentimental or creedal areas of your faith because you want to hear. When you get into the gates of righteousness, you want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it's going to be those works that get you that well done. That's just the truth of it. So today, we're going to move on and determine more defined definition. There you go, defined definition. We're going to let James's definition throughout the first part of the book of James tell us what this faith looks like. And so I'm actually focusing in just what we've done up to this point, James 1, chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 16. And I'm going to name these for you. And I hope that you'll go through and look at this stuff on your own. Again, as I was saying a couple days ago in one of the episodes, that what I'm saying is not even like secondary to God. It's like way back burner. So if you go through God's Word, reading James, reading any book of the Bible, really listen to what he's asking of you. And chew on it. You can hear me all day and it can sort of motivate you, but that's at best what I am, a motivator. God's word is the transformation. That's the changer. So go there. But what I'm looking at, so I'm saying, let's look through James 1 and then through chapter 2 up to verse 16 and let's locate the works that James has defined for us. So if we look there in right at the beginning in chapter 1, it's perseverance. He asks us to persevere with joy. Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. So there you go. He said, you're not just saying, hey, I believe. You're saying, hey, I believe, therefore, I'm going to go ahead with joy and move forward in this trial. So then another one. Asking for wisdom and guidance without doubt. Now, I don't know about you, but it's very hard for me when I ask God for wisdom or anybody for wisdom, not to immediately become cynical and think, yeah, okay, thanks, but I'm not going to really listen to that. That's not that helpful to me because I didn't come up with it. So you remember if I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, what living or asking for that wisdom and guidance without doubt actually looks like? If you are living with doubt, that's more or less putting your feet in two camps. You're saying to God, hey, I need help in this area, but while I'm waiting on you to do what you're supposed to do, I'm going to come over here and do whatever I want to do. And really what we're supposed to do is take that one foot and drag it out of that selfish camp and put it in the camp that has asked God for wisdom. And he says right there in one, if you ask without doubt, or for the person who asks with doubt, that person shall not expect to receive anything from the Lord, because he's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. And so we recognize that the Lord's been pretty clear with us through James to say, hey, ask me and trust me. Put those both feet in that camp, and I'm going to be able to respond to you then. But until then, I'm not going to. Another one that I think we see here is the Lord is asking us to remain humble. He's asking us to love on other people with a humble heart. That's the only way we can actually truly love people. Because if we're doing it from a selfish standpoint, we're not really doing it for the Lord. We're doing it to make ourselves look good or feel better about ourselves. Or maybe it's even because we think that person is less than us. And with sort of that snarled nose mentality, we kind of take care of them because we're just amazing like that. So remain humble. I love saying this. I love believing this. I love knowing this, that humility is currency in the kingdom of heaven. That I believe God lays favor on a humble heart. I mean, if you look at the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, it's pretty clear that the Lord lays lots of favor on that. In fact, the meek will inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And so, yes, the Lord is going to bless the humble. Okay, living in moral excellence, or it also says keeping oneself unstained by the world. Now, that little bucket right there, it's not a little bucket. That's a really big bucket, because we're talking about some real basic things. Like I was saying, separating yourself in entertainment, separating yourselves from things that damage the temple that God has given you. That includes cigarettes. It includes anything in the excess. Now, of course, God's word does not say that it is wrong to drink, but he does say it is wrong to be drunken. It's wrong to be a drunkard. It's wrong not to be sober. It's wrong not to be aware of what's going on. So in any way that you're numbing out your brain, and that includes things that are perfectly legal, like alcohol or in some states, marijuana. God's word is clear. And when we are called to be separated, to be consecrated, that means we do things on his terms, not our own. And so that includes more than just that. It includes gluttony. It includes laziness. It includes toxic relationships. It includes that nasty language. You know, there's a shirt out there, and I've talked about this in many forums, and forgive me if I'm being redundant, but there's a shirt out there somewhere that says, I love Jesus and cuss a little. You know what that says is, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not willing to follow him. Like, chew on that. Chew deep on that. Sweet girl, it's not even, I want to say you're better than that, but honestly, we're not better than that. And so we have to trust the Lord to take us deeper and go deeper into moral excellence. And as the scripture says there in the King James Version of 1, set aside all superfluity of naughtiness, the quarreling, the gossip, the everything. Oh, I'm getting on a bit of a soapbox. So y'all know it. Live in moral excellence. That is an act of faith. That is an act of obedience. It's an act of worship to the God who has saved you. And it's also an act that will disciple another and will actively make another disciple. Okay, receive and accept the implanted word. I think this is really something that, even though it's sort of down in the list and in the writings of James, this is up at the top. Really, the only way these things are going to flow out of you is if you receive, you accept the gospel to be true, to be yours, written for you to share. Not about you, though. The scripture is about God. Don't just pick it up as your greatest motivational toolbook. No, this is about him. And that is what's going to change you. That's why it can become implanted in you. I heard author and speaker Allie Beth Stuckey saying, don't expect a flawed you to be the answer, to be what fixes you. And I'm paraphrasing that. But this is more or less what we're saying right here. Accept the fact that it is only through the gospel about our triune God that is going to change your life. So accept that implanted word and go forward serving others. Okay. Also, look after orphans and widows. So you see what we've got right here. All of this up to this point has been working on yourself. The scripture in James and in many places is speaking very clearly about helping others, loving others. And we spoke about that there in verse 8 of chapter 2. Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself. So take care of the widow and the orphan. What's the definition of widow and orphan? This is anybody who is poor and in need. Anybody that the Lord has brought to your attention saying, hey, it's your job to assist them. It's your job to care for their physical needs and disciple them where I lead you to. Okay, again, not showing favoritism to the rich over the poor. We've spoken a lot about that last week and sort of gone over that this week. Speaking and acting as those who are judged by the law of freedom. Oh, y'all, speak and act like Jesus has saved you. Now go back to the shirt. If you walk around with a shirt on that says, hey, I love Jesus, but I can say whatever I want, you're not living under the law of freedom, because the law of freedom means utter dependence on Jesus Christ, on God the Father, and following the example of Jesus Christ. So you can ask yourself, does my behavior look anything like what God would have showed us through his son, Jesus Christ? You know, you look at that, what would Jesus do bracelet? You know, what has Jesus already done? What has he already shown us? You don't have to even guess. You can say, look, what has Jesus done? And since he's done so much for me, since he laid down his life for me, I'm going to lay down my language. I'm going to lay down all the stuff. I can get on that soapbox all the day long. There's this other one, showing mercy over judgment. I was saying that towards the end of yesterday's episode, forgiveness. Are you living in forgiveness? And do you realize that forgiveness is an act of obedience and it is a work based on faith? At such a powerful moment, do you realize that God has called you to live in forgiveness through Jesus Christ? We look at the scripture that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means since you will never ever have it figured out, and you're never ever outside of the pearly gates be made fully clean and fully sanctified, then Christ died for you to keep you close to the heart of the Father, because he wants to present you pure before the Father. And so since that's the case, since he showed us so much mercy over the judgment, then that's what I'm going to do. All right. And then, of course, that one more thing here is doing more than wishing someone well, but providing physical needs. You see, there James has shown us how to serve God through obedience in our general goodness, the things that we're supposed to do, moral excellence, and then also serving others. Okay, so I got to wrap. Went super long today, super good day, but that's it. That's a greater definition of the works that we're called to do to glorify God. All right, that's it for today here on A Heart Refined. See you tomorrow. Bye.